Alright, today we're talking about truth. What is truth? Now, I know we have the truth because we proclaim that we have the truth. So if we proclaim it, we must have it. However, there's an old story, and everybody's heard it, but when you get old, there are no new stories, so you have to tell old stories again. The story goes that St. Peter is in heaven, and he's given a tour of heaven to a group of people. And so they come to one building, off kind of by itself, and so St. Peter tells the people, now you have to be very, very quiet as we walk through these halls and don't make a sound. And they said, well, how come? And he says, because these are the Church of Christ people and they think they're the only ones here. Now, at one time, could we have used that these are the Adventist people and they think they're the only ones here? Or could we use, here are the nice Baptist people, and they think they're the only ones here. Or could we use, these are the Mormons who think. Now, if the Church of Christ has the truth, Baptists have the truth, Mormons have the truth, do we have the truth? Okay, I don't answer questions here. I only ask questions. So that is a good question. Okay? And is it important to define what truth is? And is it important to define if what truth affects, is it strictly us? Or are there universe people in the universe and angels that are searching for truth? So what? Pardon? What?
We don't answer questions either.
So far, you're doing a good job. So let's look at truth a little bit. We have 27, now 28 truths that we take a stand on. How important do you feel that those truths are?
Well, it's kind of like the lesson said that years ago, when we were young, that you could, if you obeyed the commandments and paid your tithe, then you were really looked good in the church, but you didn't have to be born again. There's a difference.
Bernie, would our confidence be shaken if those were wrong? Would our confidence in who Christ is be shaken? Because I'm thinking there is only one truth.
Okay.
Christ said, I am the truth,
okay. The
way and the life.
Okay.
And, you know, Debbie's dad, Dr. Reed, is a very good friend of mine. And I've asked him, I've said, is it possible that we might have these wrong? He said, yeah.
Okay.
We might not have this all right. And so for me to say, are those truths? As we know it, yes. But I'm also okay that we may not have that 100% okay, and my faith is not shaken by that.
Okay. What do you think about that? Could there be some things that we consider truth and it be wrong?
May not necessarily be wrong, but would it have anything to do with our salvation?
Okay, is that important?
Yes, that is important.
Okay.
Salvation is what it's all about, isn't it?
Okay. Well, I don't know. I thought it was important to define and have truth. What would you say is the divining truth that we have that perhaps other churches do not have, if we could be so arrogant and bold to say that.
Most obvious, the day of the week that we worship.
Okay.
But you have Seventh-day Baptists have that.
Okay. Not very few. What does that do for us? Is it important to have the right day? Who said yes over here? Oh, well, one, two. I like people that want to step out. Why?
I didn't say that. I was saying
Oh, okay. All right. Is it good that we have the right day?
Only as you understand that day.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, our good brethren, the Jews, they had the right day too.
Okay.
They didn't understand it very well.
Okay.
If we understand it properly, at least as I understand it properly, it is a day to remember the Creator of the universe.
Okay. All right, I agree with that. Is it important that we have an understanding of what to eat and not to eat?
Only for our own health.
Is it?
Well, it's important for our health, but it may not be important for our spiritual life.
Okay. All right. When we are asked, what do Seventh-day Adventists believe? What are generally in the past, hopefully it's changing, are we very quick to point out our beliefs? What are they?
We don't smoke, we don't drink, and we don't eat pork, and we don't go to shows, and we go to...
Well, shows is out of the way now. You were doing pretty good till you got to the shows. That's no longer a stickler. What? State of the dead. What else? The Sabbath. What are we pointing out?
How we're different.
How we're different. Is that smart? Is it? What would you say then if you were asked, what do Seventh-day Adventists believe?
We're saved by God's grace.
Second coming. God's grace. What other things? What do you say? I pointed out what we used to say. We used to take great pride.
What we say, it's what we do.
Okay, I agree with that. But what if somebody specifically asked, oh, you're a Seventh-day Adventist. What do Seventh-day Adventists believe?
I keep the Sabbath on Saturday.
Okay.
Ernie, I think the first...
Do we throw in that we have a prophet?
No.
No? Okay, just checking. Yes, ma'am.
A lot of people that I talk to think that we're a cult. So I think the first thing is to say that we are Christians and that we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and that it's because of what He did for us that we believe that there is a better place for us and we're going there. And, you know, I think finding common ground with our Christian brothers and sisters especially is so vital.
Okay.
Because when they realize that we are not a sect, they will come to us and they will ask. And I've learned from Mark that most people really don't want your advice until they ask for it.
Okay. All right.
It's always a cult because of Ellen White. I mean, that's why they call the Mormons, they still call Mormons a cult because of, what was it? I thought it was Brigham Young or somebody like that.
Okay. Joseph Smith. Okay, Lloyd?
Well, some of these things come to a head anyway. I mean, where I spend about 4 hours a day, they had all these little piggy and blankets to eat. They know I don't eat pork. I'm not eating that junk.
Mm-hmm. And is there anything wrong with that?
No.
No.
I think so.
No. But how do you present that? Dr. Laura says, I would love to eat pork, but I can't. My religion won't allow me. Is that the way we present that? How do we present it?
We say it's a health issue.
Pardon?
It's a health issue.
What do you mean by that?
I eat what I believe is best for me.
Okay. All right. What is other people? What do you say? Yes.
Let's say that we believe in the Bible in its entirety, that we believe it's blessed by God. We believe in the salvation through Jesus Christ, and that we should love others as we love ourselves.
Okay. All right. Why isn't not eating pork the truth? Pardon?
It's not the truth. I mean, it's only the truth in that you choose because of your health. That's all. And you can respond to different people different ways if they really want to know more how I feel about it.
Okay.
And if I go to get into this talking about, oh, no, my religion, Seventh-day Adventist, we don't eat pork. I don't do that.
Okay.
I think I ever did. I may have, but I don't remember.
Okay. That's good.
But every individual is different, but you can't.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You have to allow... If you see you, your choice is because of health. You just feel it's not a healthy thing to eat it, so I don't want it. I don't want to eat it. I grew up that way. We're not by ourselves. There's Mohammed there. He's the same way. He won't eat it.
Okay.
I thought the Bible said it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you, it's what comes out.
Different Bible study.
But, you know, I've heard somebody quote that they can
sure.
eat anything they want.
Sure.
I mean, you know, and that shows you how the Bible is used. I mean,
sure.
I remember this guy worked with, he would say that.
Yeah. Yeah. If that text is talking about physical food, then the person's not reading the text correctly.
James has it.
Context. Oh, yes.
Well, it says in Leviticus, we're not supposed to eat.
Okay. And why?
Unclean.
Why? See, the statement's there. Question is why?
Because there's scavengers.
Why?
Kids had leprosy and trichinosis and all kinds of other diseases.
Okay.
But it also says in the Bible that the men are supposed to wear tassels on their garments. We don't do that either.
Okay. Different study. Alright, let me give you a life experience. I was at Keene. And I got to ride trains for free because my daddy was an engineer on the Southern Pacific. And so Keene thought so much of me that they gave me a very quick vacation and allowed me to go home. Which I thought was very nice of them.
One-way ticket?
They said call. So this was unexpected. And so I'm on the train, probably 19, and no food, very little money, and the guy comes along and he's selling ham and cheese sandwiches. Now I'm hungry. And it's going to be about 8 hours till I get to El Paso to reach my fate. Eat it or don't eat it?
Great opportunity for fasting.
Hey, we're mad at you. Yeah, it's all right. We had happy birthdays here with nobody to start us.
Oh.
I'm sure Ernie, what you did, you took,
sure
the sandwich, took the ham off and ate a cheese sandwich.
Pardon?
So I'm sure what you did was you got it, you took the ham off and ate a cheese sandwich.
What would you have done?
We need a little more information. What were you, about 125 pounds then?
I was 125 pounds.
Eat it.
I ate it. Now, I did it for a different reason back then. I did it back then because I was strictly hungry and didn't care. You see, truth is not don't eat pork. That's certainly a nice fact. that certainly is great guidance. It's certainly a blessing that we have that other churches and lots of other people do not have. But truth is not eat pork. In the great scheme of life, that one little piece of ham, I don't think, caused all my other problems that I have from a little thing called overeating. You get the picture? Is the Sabbath truth?
That's hard to answer.
I appreciate that.
I grew up in our church, church school and all that now.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go a little different direction. Are the angels in heaven and the rest of the universe, are they interested in truth? Okay, I got a think so.
Yeah.
I got a yeah.
Certainly.
I got a certainly.
They live it.
Live what?
The truth.
Do they?
Yeah.
Positive?
Yeah.
All right, I like people that like to stand up.
I think we're showing them the truth. This world is showing them.
We are a theater in the universe. So, if they're watching, are they interested in truth? Okay? Yes, ma'am.
I think they are truth.
Okay.
And I think that's the condition of our own selves.
Okay.
So.
All right. Then let's go back to the beginning of time. Did God and the angels and Lucifer have truth?
Yep.
You sure?
Yeah. He still knows the truth.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Sure.
He has that power of choice.
But the good book said the truth shall set you free.
Well, how free is he? Is a Lucifer?
I'm very free.
Did all the angels in heaven before sin arise have truth?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Well, then how can sin arise? How could Lucifer, if he had truth, how could that arise?
There had to be questions in their minds. They wouldn't have listened to Lucifer.
Okay.
Ernie, I think there's a difference between having truth and knowing truth.
Oh, okay.
Lucifer knew the truth, but he didn't have truth.
Okay. We'll come back to that. Were the angels interested and the universe interested in what happened to Calvary?
Yes.
Were they interested? Were they involved? Why?
Because it showed God's true character.
So what truth were they searching for?
Well, I think the truth that started before the foundations of the earth, that God is not as Satan has made him out to be, but that God is a loving God and not a God of vengeance.
Okay. And why didn't they understand that if they had the truth?
That's a good question. Why wouldn't they understand that before the fall in heaven?
So what's the one truth for up to Calvary for 4,000 years of this earth's history that the angels and the universe were wondering about? Was it which day to worship on?
No.
Was it how much tithe to pay?
No.
Was it to kill or not to kill? Was it to commit adultery or not commit adultery? Was it to love your neighbor or not love your neighbor? What was the truth they were searching for?
God truly a loving God.
Is God who He says He is? The controversy has never been over what day. We have proven. I remember when Samuel Bacciocchi, is that his name?
Yes.
He came out with his great book, From Sabbath to Sunday. What was the church saying? Nothing, huh? Well, some were saying, this is the proof. Am I correct? This is going to change things. Very scholarly Very well done book. And what did it change? Zero.
Increased our knowledge.
Did. Now a lot of the things he said are being called into question. See? But we thought this was going to change everything. Why? Because if the truth is about which day you keep, we thought, wow, we got some proof that the industry, the religious people are going to read, well documented, well done, is going to say, wow, we just can't get away from this, and Saturday must be the Sabbath. And it did nothing. If Moses' ark was found today on Mount Ararat, what effect in this world would it make?
It would be shocking because it was Noah that had the ark.
Did I take my medicine today?
It was the hand of Sabbath.
They say confession's good for the soul. I'm not sure. Well, Moses should have had an ark. Thank you, Skip. Thank you, Skip. If Noah's ark was found up there on that mountain, would that reveal truth? What change do you think it would make?
What happened when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls?
Well, Ernie, and I think he might have been talking about Moses' Ark of the Covenant that does have the Ten Commandments. And maybe not, but maybe that one. I'm trying to help you out.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. I decided on that one that I am beyond help. So there's just time to punt and say, hey. So that's it. What is truth?
Is always about God.
And how is that?
I mean, we take the truth and try to quantify it and say it's this or this or this, but those are just, I mean, they're just sidelights.
Now you're getting to somewhere. If Rob and I were a lot younger, well, especially him, a lot younger, one of the things that we would love to do is to take an evangelistic series and take every one of our beliefs, every one of the 27, now 28, might be 29 by the time we got around to doing it, fundamental beliefs, and wrap them all around Jesus Christ. You see, the reason we have a health message is not to share with people what you should eat and what you should not eat. The reason we have a health message is to say that God cared so much that as the children of Israel came out, He said, I know that you've never made any choices on your own. You have been slaves, so let me help you out. Eat a little bit of this, and stay away from this. Because this isn't really good for you. And eat a little bit of this, and stay away from this. Because this really isn't good for you. This is going to cause you problems. Instead, we look at everything as arbitrary. That God come along and said, okay, you know nothing about food, so here's my law. Eat this, and don't eat this. And if you eat this, you're a sinner. He came along and gave us the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not the truth. Unless we understand the beauty of the Sabbath, and unless we understand the blessing of the Sabbath, unless we understand that God loved us and gave us the Sabbath can be one of the biggest obstacles between you and your relation to Jesus Christ. If you don't believe it, go to school at a certain college within radius of here, which I will not mention, and be there around the 60s. Am I correct? Correct? Correct. We all knew the rules, knew them very well, knew how to break them. Never met God, per se. Not saying that there wasn't good teachers, not saying they had good intentions, not saying that. I'm just stating what it was. We knew the rules very, very well. They were more interested in the fact should girls wear sleeveless blouses or not. And the verdict was not, because it was sexual. And so in my little brain, I had to contemplate weeks on that. Sabbath is not truth. Sabbath standing by itself is not truth. Wrapped around Jesus Christ, or Jesus wrapped around the Sabbath, it becomes a beautiful blessing. And so if I think I'm speaking for Rob, if we were to present the Sabbath in an ordinary evangelistic setting, we would not work very hard to prove that Saturday's the day and Sunday's not, would we? Simply that God set aside a day. If you don't believe it, when you get older, there's not a whole lot of real young people in here, but when you get older, outside of Tommy, and one of my favorites, when you get older, you begin to understand how much God cared for us by giving us this day. Because we absolutely need it. We need it to get away from the cares of the world. We need it for our family. We need it for the spiritual. We need it for the fellowship. At one time, Sabbath keeping meant one thing. Did not know what was going on with the University of Texas football. 1963 was number one in the country. That's all Sabbath meant. You see, Sabbath is not truth. We can take all of our beliefs. They are not truth. The angels in heaven and the universe have not debated up until Calvary 4,000 years on was 10%, 9%, or 11% the correct amount for tithe. They did not debate on anything except the one question that is truth. What is God like? Because you see, that truth, which is the only truth, then will make your relationship one way or the other in your view of what He is like. If you're sitting there on a young boy going home for a vacation he didn't want, who was hungry, ham sandwich meant nothing. Easy decision. Truth is not based upon that decision. Hello, Clyde. Yes.
Well, I know that in my walk is that I've always had kind of to debate with other people about that the Adventists stand out on because it's saved his dead.
Okay. All right. Now, that's a good one. I appreciate you bringing that up. State of the dead, why is it important? Why is that important?
To me, it's for the living.
What do you mean?
Well, I think there's a sense of peace in my own belief, having a belief about the state of the dead.
Yeah. One of the greatest blessings that God has given to our particular organization, as well to some of the others, but ours is one at the forefront, is an understanding of the state of the dead. I've only lost one close loved one, and that was my daddy, and I was very close to him. And I can remember being there in El Paso, getting up in the middle of the night with my mother, and she's crying and boo-hooing and, you know, just torn up and, you know, how can you leave me? How can you, you know, just frantic. And I'm thinking, how could my father be in heaven looking down and watching this and enjoying one second of it?
Ernie, I think my father was on his way to camp meetings, and the next moment he's going to open his eyes and see Jesus.
Absolutely. How could it be more, if we were going to collectively design a program for the state of the dead, how could we do anything other than to come up with that same option? Kids, we live in a different world today, my opinion. Maybe I'm crazy. You know, it used to be that you had kids. My folks had kids. You grow up, you move out, and you go set your own life. Nowadays, you know, we're sitting here taking care of our great-grandson. Nobody's moved out of our lives. They're all dependent. So, how would you like to be up in heaven watching what's going on with the people that you care for, that you love, that you are give everything for, and see the ups and the downs and the trials and the drug addiction and the prison sentences and the things they go through? How is that happy?
It's not happy. But if you're, for example, delivering meals on wheels to old people, and somebody just lost their spouse, and they say, but I know he's in a better place, and I know that he's happy, am I going to tell them about the state of the dead?
Absolutely not.
No, I'm not.
Say, here's your veggie burger. That's the way you get to witness. Absolutely not. What difference does it make? It is not the truth that we're looking for. So if we were preaching the state of the dead, what a blessing. What other way, if you just sat down and went through it, would you want it? You die, and the next thing you know, the resurrection. How could it get any better? You see, if you know, my cousin called me and said, well, you know, your daddy's up there with my daddy and they're in a better place. And I'm sitting here listening to my mother cry, scream, lost. Who would want that? So see, if you wrap around that, what a blessing come right to you. What a blessing God has given us through an understanding of the state of the dead. It's us that take it and present it in a wrong light. Because you see, if it's not Christ wrapped around it, then it becomes a nice argument. Yes, ma'am.
Well, or, like you said, we can look at that belief and we can say, what does this say about who God says He is?
Absolutely.
What does this belief, as we look at Christ's life, say about who He said He was?
Yes. Absolutely. We're going to come to that in just a second.
It's good to know, Ernie, that you continue to be a good Seventh-day Adventist and come to church every Sabbath. Although you realize some of the mistakes we've made in the past, and we are different than a lot of the different denominations and churches, but not that different to a good Christian, whether he's Baptist or Catholic, or it doesn't matter. Anyone, you name them, they can be as good as we can.
Okay.
But we still have a commitment toward what we believe the Bible.
Yes. Yes.
And it's in a way that God, we feel and do it because we love Him, not because it's particularly true or everybody else.
Absolutely, Lloyd.
Everybody has to believe the way I do. We have to be a lot more tolerant and realize.
So, turn the fan on. Yes, ma'am.
I think that there are a lot of denominations and a lot of Christians that have the same core belief. Many of the things that we have are quality of life issues.
Mm-hmm.
We've been given information that vastly increases the quality of our life.
We've got blessings. God has given us gems. God has given us insights. God has given us information. He's given us what we should take, wrap up, and present to other people, and we take them as facts, we take them as truths, and all we do is cause arguments. Now, what is truth?
Jesus answered that when he was standing before Pilate.
And what did he say?
He He said that he came into this world to testify of the truth.
Okay.
Now, with that being the statement, we've got to understand or study the life of Christ to see what that truth was.
Okay. There is, in my opinion, and I stress in my opinion, there is only one truth.
Amen.
Jesus Himself said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He's the way. Have you ever gone and asked for directions? And somebody says, go to the left, go about 7 blocks, 8 blocks, or 9 blocks, turn right when you see a tree, go down maybe 1 or 2 miles, take a left when you see the road kind of bending, and then go straight for maybe 4, 5, 6 miles, and then take another left when you see a picket fence. You see, and you're sitting there in your own mind saying, I'm lost and I haven't even started. When you come to Jesus and you ask Him the way, He does not give you directions. He does not tell you, go down 6 blocks and look for a stone and turn left. He does not do that. He takes you simply by the hand and He takes you to your destination. He is the way. So many times we look for directions, we want signs, we want things to do, we want to sit back and look. All He's ever said to us, come to Me, I'll show you the way personally. Now what did He mean when He said, I am the truth? The angels in heaven, in the universe, the only great question that was ever meaningful to them was, what was God like? Is He arbitrary? Is He demanding? Because that's what Satan was charging. And so God, very patiently, through 4,000 years, worked the answer to that question. You think the question about truth was answered in the Garden of Eden when they sinned. But when they were cast out, you could see, unless you had an understanding how God looked. You think the universe would have got a glimpse of what God was like when Cain killed Abel. Imagine the risk God took when He brought a flood in mercy to end lives of people that had become so intelligent, so great, that they had created problems that would have been a destruction to them. Look at the chance He took. Can you imagine Satan prancing through heaven saying, I told you, I told you, I told you what He was like. The universe wanted to know the only truth that matters. What is God like? And so we go through the children of Israel experience. The hard questions. The way God dealt. We go through the judges periods. We go through the Old Testament. And finally, when everything was the darkest, was the darkest about the character of God, Jesus came to this earth. When it was the darkest about the truth that matters. Did they know the right day? Did they eat the right meat? Did they pay the right tithe? Did they know how many steps to take on a Sabbath day? Did they know what to do and not what to do on that day? Did they know exactly what to pay people? They had it all down, and yet it was the darkest. Because not only the earth didn't know who God was, The religious people had absolutely the wrong picture. And so here comes God. Sends His Son as a king in glory, born in a stable. Religious leaders didn't know who He was, only some shepherds and three dumb wise men. And then the universe and the angels watched to see what God was like. They watched for 30 years as He sat in the carpenter's shop. And finally He goes out, and one of the first things He does is the second thing. He goes to Samaria, the worst of all, the dogs of all dogs. And He actually talks to the chief sinner of the Samaritan dogs. That woman was there at noon for a reason. She was a total outcast. Everybody else came in the morning and the evening. She came at noon to get water. And then they watched as He healed the sick, as He brought blessings, as He worked with the Pharisees and the scribes trying to make them see who He was. They watched for His ministry, and then horrors of all horrors, they watched those closing scenes as Jesus was in Gethsemane. The angels were pleading for God to allow them to go down. And finally God allowed the one that had taken Lucifer's place to go down and comfort Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He would have died there if God had not sent an angel. And then they watched the trials. They watched the disciples who had been with Him flee, deny Him, curse. They watched their friend Lucifer, who they still wondered about his character. How that can be for 4,000 years, I never understood or never will. But they still considered him a friend. And they watched Jesus, who they loved, and Lucifer, who they still had questions about. And they watched that as Lucifer whipped that crowd up and hollered, "Crucify him, crucify him." And finally, when they raised that cross up, they saw the kindness of Jesus. One of His last words was, "Father, forgive all these people." Then they looked around to each other, the entire universe and the angels in heaven, and they said, "There is no more question. We know the truth." When Jesus was resurrected, Mary came in the garden. What did He say to Mary? Remember, don't touch me, really. It's do not detain me. Why did He tell her that? Does anybody remember?
He said He hadn't ascended to His Father.
You ever wondered what He asked when He got up there? Is it enough? Not have I spilled enough blood? Have I covered everybody's sins? That was not what He was interested in. He went to His Father and He said to His Father and to the universe, "Is it enough?" And they said, "Oh my, yes." We now, without any doubt, understand the truth of who You are. And from that day forward, Satan was through with the universe and the angels. Why? In their heart, they answered the truth. If a man's hungry, if we're not careful, we give him a tract. If a man's blind, we're not careful, we give him a book to read. If a person's going through a divorce, we are not careful, we tell them just stick it out. There's only one truth that matters. The judgment is based on, in the New Testament, when He comes, He says simply, how did you treat your brothers and sisters? Doesn't ask, how did you tell them about what day, how much, what kind of food? That's not in there. Simply, what did you do with your brothers and sisters? And the interesting thing is the righteous said, He said, you come on into the kingdom. I was hungry and you fed me. I was cold and you gave me a coat. And they didn't even know it. Well, we never did that to you. I long for the day that when the word Seventh-day Adventist comes up, people will say, you know, they have the most beautiful picture of what God is like. I cannot believe it. For you see, that is the truth. So do other churches have truth?
Absolutely.
Better believe it. Might be the wrong day. Might not be the state of the dead. Might not pay tithe correctly. But I'm telling you, if you want to go to some churches and feel love, it's there. Our brilliance as a Seventh-day Adventist organization is that if we get the correct picture of God and what He is like, and we have the message to send out to the world that the last message is going to be on the character of who God is. If the angels in the universe waited 4,000 years for that answer, I pray that our generation doesn't wait 4,000 years for the same answer. They want to know who God is and how much He cares and how much He loves. Our brilliance as an organization is God has given us a tremendous insight to take that message of the love of God, His character, and then portray it in the 27, now 28, probably next year 29, fundamental beliefs. That we do have a brilliant insight. But so do the Jews. And they didn't even recognize the Creator of the universe. And when He revealed Himself, the only things they said was, crucify Him. Truth? What is the truth to you? Father in heaven, an age-old question, what is truth? Pilate asked that question when Jesus was working on His salvation, but He didn't stay around to listen to the answer. The only truth that matters in my life was when I really understood, no matter what I'd done, where I'd been, where I was on my journey, that You cared and You loved. And any time that I would ask for the way, You were right there. And as I began to understand how much You love, I wanted to share that good news with other people. Help each one of us in our Sabbath school class today to understand the truth about You. That You are a God of love. That You are a God who cares. That You are a God who will do anything within the power that we allow to move our life closer to You. May we take the truth about You and share this with the world that is longing for this message. Father, they're not longing for a day or a text. They're longing for life. And you are the one that can give that to them. Help us is our prayer. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus, who came to this earth to reveal truth. Amen. Amen.